Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. As always, it is a delight, it is a pleasure, it is a privilege to be in studio. We have been doing this broadcast for so many years, and it is a broadcast that bears abundant, abiding fruit. And today's broadcast is no different because we're talking about the words of Messiah. We're talking about God in human flesh, who gives us the apex of his message, encapsulated in three chapters, and we're now at the end of the third chapter, where Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are, well, they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Of course not. Figs from thistles? No. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is then cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Every single time I recall these words, words that are worth memorizing, I think back to what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 23. Here he is echoing the very words of God Almighty, who said, "Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, 'The Lord says you will have peace.' And to all who follow the stubbornness of their own hearts, they say, 'No harm is going to come to you.' But which of these false prophets has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Who has stood there to see and hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, the whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In the days to come, you'll understand it clearly. I didn't send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I didn't speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot find him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" In other words, God is not localized and easy to avoid. He's not like the false gods that people were worshiping. He's eminent and transcendent. He's omniscient and omnipresent. And then says Jeremiah, speaking the words of the Lord, "I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long is this going to continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? I think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just exactly like, just as their fathers forgot my name through the worship of Baal. So let the prophet who has a dream tell that dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what is straw to do with grain, declares the Lord, is not my word like fire? And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Therefore, declares the Lord, I'm against the prophets who steal from one another words that are supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I'm against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares, indeed, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams. They tell them, and they lead my people astray with reckless lies. I didn't send or appoint them, and these prophets, these false prophets, do not benefit my people in the least, declares the Lord. Now, I cannot judge men who stand in pulpits in America today, whether or not they're sincerely misled or they're just misleading people. But there are so many high-profile preachers today who are false prophets in the sense that what they are prophesying does not come to pass. They're false teachers in the sense that what they are preaching does not cohere with the words of our Lord, with the words of Holy Scripture. Allow me just one example. I think of John Hagee, who's a bombastic televangelist, who routinely wags his own tongue and yet declares, the Lord declares. He is increasingly recognizable as a militant Zionist. He's also a prosperity pastor who routinely castigates those who do not embrace his notion of a secret coming followed by a Holy Land Holocaust in which the vast majority of Jews perish. He calls them anti-Semitic. So if you don't hold his view, you're anti-Semitic. Now that's quite a charge he's making against those who do not believe his theology. In fact, he goes even farther. He calls them replacement theologians who are carrying Hitler's anointing, who are carrying Hitler's message. In fact, his term, replacement, as in replacement theologians, something he calls me, is highly ironic. I say that because Hagee, who wields the term as an insult, holds to the mistaken notion that Israel is going to soon replace a raptured church during 7 years of tribulation in which the vast majority of Jews perish. Also ironic is the fact that those like Hagee, now claiming that replacement theologians are guilty of spreading the message of anti-Semitism, are themselves in the process of herding those Jews into the Holy Land, all the while believing that these Jews will soon be slaughtered in a bloodbath that exceeds even that of Hitler's Holocaust. So here's a man who claims to be a true prophet, a true teacher, who is castigating other teachers because they don't hold to his particular paradigm. And not only castigating them, but using the strongest of all language to condemn them. Imagine putting someone in the same camp as Hitler. When we come back from the break, I want to continue on that note, because not only does Hagee place greater emphasis on herding Jews into the land, but he also places great emphasis on saying that those Jews never rejected Christ, but rather Christ rejected them. We'll talk about that and more when we come back from the break. Please don't touch that dial.
Does it matter if God exists? Theists believe in God. Atheists don't believe in God. Agnostics don't know if God exists. But what do apatheists believe? Well, in short, they simply do not care to address the question of God's existence. The rise of apatheism is an unprecedented development in human history, as an alarming number of people in our world today simply can't be bothered to ponder the great mysteries of the universe, the greatest of all being the existence of God. How can Christians convince apatheistic individuals to care about God? Kyle Beshears wrote Apatheism as a Handbook for Christian Evangelism, How to Share When They Don't Care. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during this financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we went to break, I was talking about the fact that there are false teachers within the body of Christ that are placing far greater emphasis on returning Jews to the land than turning Jewish people to the Lord. And John Hagee is a classic example of that, says that we have to put an end to the Christian chatter that all the Jews are lost and can't be in the will of God until they convert to Christianity. Incredibly, he goes so far as take the onus of the Jewish community and then place it squarely on the Jewish Christ. His words, if Christ refused by his words or actions to claim to be Messiah to the Jews, then how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered to them? He, in fact, goes so far as to say that the Jewish people wanted Jesus to be Messiah, but he absolutely refused. In other words, the Jews were not rejecting Jesus. It was Jesus who was refusing to be Messiah to the Jews. Now, anyone who has read through the Gospels even once knows full well that Jesus emphatically contradicted those sentiments. Who can forget the emotionally charged words that were uttered by Jesus as he was leaving the temple? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Or as the Apostle John explains, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It was the Jews who rejected Jesus, not the other way around. Plainly put, John Hagee's spin is historical revisionism, pure and simple. To suggest, as he does, that the Jews are somehow entitled to building settlements in Gaza and yet excluded from the blessed salvation of the gospel might well be considered to be the height of anti-Semitism. Worse still, the notion that Jews in the 21st century are going to endure a Holocaust for the first century sins of their fathers is as unbiblical as it is unthinkable. Indeed, only a gospel of peace and justice through faith in the one who died for both Jew and Gentile is potent enough to break the stranglehold of anti-Semitism fueled in large part by bad theology. Equally damaging is the pretext of a prosperous Jesus, again promoted by prosperity peddlers like John Hagee, a Jesus who allegedly lived in a mansion. The way Hagee put this, and I wrote about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis, John 1:38 says that Jesus turned to those who were following him and said this, "Come with me." And they said, "Where dwellest thou?" And he said, "Come and see." And Jesus took the crowd home with him to stay in his house, which meant that had to be a big house. Furthermore, Jesus wore, he says, designer clothes. Jesus had a seamless robe so valuable that Roman soldiers gambled for it at the cross. In his words, it was a designer robe. Moreover, says Hagee, when you have to have a secretary treasurer carry the excess money you have, you're not poor. As I demonstrate over and over again in my teachings and in my writings, the notion of a Jesus with a Rolex is the stuff of myths and fables. The crowd Jesus allegedly invited to stay with them in his mansion is the mere figment of Hagee's overactive imagination. In fact, the very passage that he cites makes it crystal clear that far from inviting a crowd to join him in his mansion, Jesus invited two people to see where he was staying. Likewise, the notion that the soldiers gambled for Christ's garment because it was so valuable is completely ad hoc. In reality, they cast lots for the garment of Christ, not only that the scripture might be fulfilled, but, as common sense dictates, one garment divided into four rags would have been of little value to them. And even if we suppose that this was an expensive undergarment, there is no warrant whatsoever to presume that the closet of Christ's mansion was replete with more of the same. Nor can we presume that because the disciples had a money bag, that Jesus was a multi-million-dollar Messiah. Instead, the message of Jesus was consistent and clear. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Well, in addition to false prophecies and false teachings, Hagee adds load upon load to his pile of false prognostications. Seems a long time ago now. But it was only 5 years ago that his selling and sensationalism respecting four blood moons was all the rage in the Christian church. Biblical prophecy, however, is not designed to help us pin the tail on the Antichrist or to pinpoint a future tribulation. Prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy are powerful proofs that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine, as opposed to merely being human in origin. In the words of the Almighty, I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so you couldn't say my idols did them, my wooden image and metal God ordained them. Or in the words of Jesus, I told you now before it happened so that when it does happen, you will believe. In other words, Jesus makes absolutely plain that prophecy demonstrates that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin. It isn't predicting what's going to happen with four blood moons in the 21st century. So we have to watch out for false prophets. They come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. These words of Christ teach us to listen critically, to know the truth, to be so grounded in truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you'll recognize that counterfeit instantaneously. Without knowing the Word of God, you will not be able to discern the good fruit from the bad fruit. You will, like millions of others, be fooled by the skin of the truth, stuffed with a great big lie. On our next broadcast, we're going to finish the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow and beat against that house, and yet it does not fall because it has its foundation on the rock. Conversely, anyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. Again, tomorrow we'll talk about the difference between building on the rock and building on shifting sands. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll see you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care by Kyle Beshears. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.